You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning on this Monday, August 25th. The armed conflict in the Republic of Georgia may be over, but it seems the fight isn't over yet, at least not politically. Russia's parliament is asking President Medvedev to recognize the two breakaway regions as independent. This is the latest of development this morning. Joining us is Humphrey Hawksley, reporting from Moscow for our partner, the BBC. Thanks for joining us, Humphrey. So explain to us what the parliament is up to.
The parliament has just voted, both houses of the parliament, the upper and lower house, to recognize the independence requests from South Ossetia and Abkhazia, the two breakaway regions of Georgia. It was a unanimous vote, and it was done with a measure of anger and patriotism. The Russian national anthem was played. There was a minute's silence for those who had died because of what they said was Georgia's aggression. And now that decision or that vote goes to the Kremlin. And the Kremlin has to ratify it, has to agree to it, before that it becomes official Russian policy. It's thought that it won't do that immediately.
Because
it wants to test the international waters on it. As you rightly said, the conflict has stopped at the moment down in that area. But what happened simultaneous to those votes were other things were going on. The military upped the stakes, as it were. So Parliament put forward its request for independence. The military said that it might send in more troops to the key port of Poti and that it would begin to search cargo coming in on ships there. Now, one of the elements of the agreement, the peace agreement, was that it would allow free passage of trade and people. Now, that searching of cargo ships might well be seen as violating it even more. One other key element that it said was that it would not allow surveillance flights over the buffer zones that it had set up. Now, those buffer zones are not recognized by the international community. It is quite likely that there would be surveillance flights by Georgian or almost only by American drones or aeroplanes and that. And Russia is saying quite blankly that it is not going to permit it. So these things are upping the stakes, as it were. And what I think is going to happen over the next few days is that it's going to probe behind the scenes through diplomatic channels what the West's reaction is going to be.
Well, let's first talk about, has there been any reaction from Georgia President Saakashvili?
Yes. I mean, he has condemned immediately that what the parliament has done is illegal and that they cannot break up this sovereign territory, and it's got to respect international laws on that. What the Russians are saying is that they are comparing this directly to the breakaway Serbian province of Kosovo, if your listeners might remember that. That in Europe, that declared independence earlier this year and was supported by the European Union and by Washington very strongly. They're saying it's exactly the same situation. These people do not want to live within Georgia, and therefore we should respect their rights for independence.
So, Humphrey, clearly a conflict here. If Russia is, the parliament is saying they're going to support efforts by the breakaway provinces of independence, and you have Georgia, on the other hand, saying that they will continue a policy of uniting the two separatist enclaves under one Georgian flag. What do you think the reaction is likely going to be from the West on the Russian parliament vote?
I think that what you've got is a bit of realpolitik taking place here. There is no way that Georgia will be able to reunite its country again. It just won't happen. So that is one element. And American diplomats also admit that Georgia went over the top in its military reaction and the destruction that it caused. So that's not going to happen. So what is going to play out over the next few days, weeks possibly, is to see whether the West, see whether Washington and Russia particularly, can agree to disagree on what's gone on in Georgia and then continue with the wider relationship that they have about the World Trade Organization, about NATO itself, about the hugely integrated economies that they've got. There's no way that you could go back to the Soviet-style Cold War, because the leadership here in Russia is totally different to that. They are all part of the yacht-owning, the jet set, and all that kind of thing that has happened in the past 15 years. So what comes out of the end of this is going to be something completely new. We won't learn about it at all. It's an authoritarian style of government that wants to be integrated with the international economy, that at the moment is sorting out various territorial disputes that are left over from the end of the Cold War.
Is that why Moscow is going to wait and see how it plays? Because it's certainly, the Kremlin is certainly concerned about maintaining its status as a member of the world economy.
Well, that's right. I mean, what could be very embarrassing for the Kremlin is if, for example, it did recognize South Ossetia and Abkhazia, and then those two little aspirant nations can go to other countries. It would go to the UN to ask for recognition. That would be rejected straight away. But then it could go, for example, to Cuba, which is a Russian ally, or Venezuela, a Russian ally, and say, listen, will you give us formal recognition? Now, what is quite clear on this is that Russia will not get a huge amount of international support for these two new countries. It will be a handful of very close allies, or puppets as they might be called, and therefore it will be an open test of international support for Russia that Russia might well lose. And to put that in another perspective, it will not get as much support for the independence of Abkhazia and South Ossetia as Kosovo got from the West. That won't happen, so Russia would end up to be the loser.
Humphrey Hawksley, thank you very much for that update. Humphrey Hawksley is a BBC correspondent. He was coming to us from Moscow. And now we're going to get the latest headlines from Femi Oke. Femi?
Thanks, Adora. Just coming up to 28 minutes past the hour.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.